This morning, I'd like to read a passage from Mark 14. It's a passage we all know, and I think it relates to Christmas, although we typically don't look at it that way. It's the passage where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Mark 14, beginning with verse 32, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. This passage, think about it, right? Jesus, right, he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And many of us are parents here. And when our children hurt, we would do almost anything to protect them. You know, I think of a time with one of ours where, you know, my prayer was, "Lord, take me instead. Just spare my child. Take care of my child." And yet, we know from Isaiah 53:10 that Jesus went from praying to the cross. Isaiah 53:10, well, let me read it. "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer." Now, we know from Matthew 7:9 that God is a better father than I am. So why would God take his son, who's crying out to him for help, crush his son? And we all know the answer to that. The answer is that so we could have a Savior, that in his purity, we could be reconciled to the Lord. Right? That's why he turned his back on his son. Now, he didn't really turn his back, but he refused his request. That was his will. So you ask me, okay, well, how is this a Christmas story at all? Well, this time of the year, we talk about Emmanuel, God with us, and we're typically talking about the baby. And yet, if that baby didn't die, Jesus told us he had to go so that the Holy Spirit could live with us. And that truly is Emmanuel, God with us. And so this morning, as we worship, remember God with us. Remember, that's the God who was willing to give his son up as much as he loved him, more than we love our children. That's the God that we worship. Please stand and pray with me. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that you loved us so much that you wanted us to be reconciled to you, Lord. That you wanted to be part of our life, even if that meant sacrificing your son. Lord, I ask that this day we would honor you, we would praise you, we would recognize Emmanuel, God with us, and we thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of our Savior Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen. Good morning, everybody. Well, please stay standing if possible, only if possible. But we're going to sing about when the angels announced Christ coming to this earth. And it's always wonderful that we can do this. Thank you, Lord. Angels we have heard on high. Thank you, Lord. We'll get it on screen here in just a second. It's one of those, hopefully the top. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and play through.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing. joyous rays glow. Say, what may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
The King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom of all my life, oh, He is my song. You are good, You're good, oh.
Good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father God, even in the midst of the troubles and the trials that we go through, Lord Jesus, you are good. But God, you are in control. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You were the Word at the beginning. You were the Word at the beginning. One with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in your rock Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want. Greater, what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is! What a wonderful name it is! The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is! Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is! The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil torn before you. You silenced the ghost of sin and shame. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. The glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Jesus, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names.
powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. What a powerful name. Thank you, Jesus. We can call out that name anytime, any place, and God meets us there, and He is with us. Sometimes I'll call it the flare prayer. Say, God, help me. God, give me strength. God, give me the words to say to this person right now. God, protect me in this moment. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you that you are there anytime, any place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me, plead the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply take me, life and rest and joyous peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Let's just sing this fourth one as a cappella.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you so much, Lord God. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we do trust you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Like that song. Jesus, Jesus, precious. Hi, Neely. Thanks so much. Oh, I got that, honey. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, the grace to trust Him more. I like that song. All right.
Well, good morning, everybody.
All righty then. Well, the good news is when we share the building with many people and lots of groups, sometimes things just disappear. That's so fun. So, okay, so if anybody happens to know, I had a bunch of, maybe they're hidden. Oh, all right, I have a bunch of Invisible War books that were sitting here last Sunday. Does anybody know where they're at? About six of them. Anybody? Bueller? Okay. All right, so we got a couple things to go over in the announcements too, and then, so let's go through this together. And actually, I know we just prayed, and I know we just worshiped, but I just feel like we're supposed to pray again, so can you just, Father, I just ask for your blessing upon your people, Lord. For those people's hearts right now that are tired, Lord, I pray that you would invigorate them, Lord, that you would stir the flame in their hearts, Lord God, just like stirring up a fire, Lord God, that you would stir it up, Lord God, that you would stir up that flame and the heat of that flame in their hearts, Lord. For those who are being oppressed, we pray the name of Jesus right now, Lord God, upon them in their life, Lord God, that you would help them and strengthen them to stand firm, Lord God, to resist the devil, and your word says he will flee, whether that be in 1 second or 1 month, he will flee, and that's your word, Lord, that's your promise. We pray that you would blanket each person here with your protection, Lord. You know those who need comfort. You know those who need truth, Lord, that are listening to the lies of the enemy, Lord God. You know those right now that are just exasperated, Lord. Empty. You know those that need to be filled. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes, our hearts, our mind to your precious word, Lord God. Would you speak to us personally by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God? Will you lift us up and allow us to see and hear and take to heart whatever you have for us? Make these vessels ready, we ask right now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that so much. Okay, so we have a couple things to go over. One of them, tithes and offerings, you know, there's a little bird box in the back to where you can put your tithes and offerings. We're not going to take up an offering. We don't want anybody to give because of guilt or manipulation. There are free Panera bread loaves. We got about 50 of those baguettes. And they should be back there in a couple of garbage bags. And we have, they're fresh from last night. And so please take some home for your family. There's also desserts and snacks and all that kind of stuff free in Jesus' name. And so we'd like you just to take that. It's just a gift. It's at no cost to you. I want to mention something in missions. And George, I don't know if you want to share this a little bit. But we have a little prison ministry called Barnabas Prison Ministries, and George is in charge of that. So, George, would you mind? I know you really hate coming up and talking and that kind of stuff, but if you would take just 1 minute on behalf of Hugh, I would really appreciate it. So, thank you so much, brother. Here we go. I think I turned it on. That's what I get for not being a tech. There we go. I think it's yours.
Thank you. You're welcome, buddy. Good morning, everyone. As I'm sure most of you know, I have spent time behind the fence. And when I got out, thankfully, there was my wonderful brother Darren here to reach out a hand to me to help me take and get reestablished back in society. And every single one of you are instrumental in helping me to take and get myself back on the right path, and I thank you very much for that. There's another member of our congregation who, unfortunately, as we all know, the devil knows what our weaknesses are, and he takes advantages of them, and unfortunately, one of our brothers backslid, and he is in the county jail at the moment, and that would be Hugh Hunter. I'm sure some of you probably knew him. Tall, slim gentleman. Recently, right after he went in, he contacted me through where we worked together, and it asked that if I could take and help him get a few of the little things that he would need to follow him through, like some underwear, socks, things like that, because they don't provide those for him in the county. They give you a smock-like outfit that looks like a hospital gown, and that's it. So, and they keep it like 65 degrees in there to keep bacteria down, so you can imagine guys get pretty cold. So a little bit of underwear, some socks, and those kind of things help to make it a little more comfortable for him. I got with Pastor Darren and Brother Gary, and they were gracious enough to provide some funds so I could take and help him out with some of that, and we sent those to him. And I recently got a postcard back from him thanking us for the blessings that the congregation had provided him with. I have information here. If anybody would like to take and write him a Christmas card, you can only send postcards, and I have the information here on what size it can be, and can't have any drawings or any of that kind of stuff on it. But a lot of these guys, when they take and go in, they don't have any family to support them anymore. Their families have kicked them off to the side. So what little bit we can do to show them that they are still human and that they are still loved goes a long ways to help them get themselves back on track. So I'm going to put this information back here on the desk, and if anybody would like to look at that and maybe drop him a postcard and let him know that you're thinking about him, especially during this holiday season, I would greatly appreciate it if you would do that. Yeah, the way the county is set up is you can only receive postcards. They have to be a specific size. The kids can't, you know, if you have kids do it, they can't take and use crayon or glitter or the likes. It's got to be an absolutely plain, pristine postcard that you, and you have to use either black or blue black ink. They won't let you use any other colored inks than that. But a simple postcard to him will go a long ways to take and pick his spirits up and help him get back on the right track. So if anybody feels moved to do that, I will put this information back there, and I would greatly appreciate it if you would write him and let him know that you're thinking about him. Thanks.
Awesome. Good job, George. Thank you, sir. Yeah, you know, and I remember Hugh, and we asked if we could share that, and he just wanted to share with the body also that you be in prayer for him too. You know, he was struggling when he got out. You know, I remember him sitting here at a men's Bible study just sobbing. You know, when I say sobbing, I mean yelling, sobbing outside. Just he's struggling with the freedom that was given him. And in some areas of drinking and things, and he's just crying. And honestly, so he's back in. I think it was the Lord told me not to say it. But anyway, but the bottom line is, God's, I think, even using this situation to help him and to dry him up and to help him in this area. And so we don't want to abandon those who stumble. And so, yeah, so if you would, if nothing else, would you please just pray for him? If you can, write him a card, because it's good. The prayers are wonderful. But, you know, honestly, sometimes when you get that writing or somebody actually cares, like they know that people are praying because we've helped them as a body with some supplies and things he needs. But that would just really bless him. But please keep him in prayer if you would, okay? We'd appreciate that. He's a good brother. Okay, also, we do some equipping here at the church. Chris, can you hit the lights for a second? You guys know we have sermons online, and we've got a little loner library in the back and that kind of stuff. And thank you so much, Lisa, for bringing me those books that I already set down. There we go. Thank you. Okay, now, there were some folks. We hand out books. We want you guys to be equipped. It's a scary time, and folks do not even know too much, you know, what the word says, and it scares the snot out of me. So part of what we do is we equip the saints. It's part of our ministry here, and so we give away books. Now, this is a book by Chip Ingram called Invisible War, What Every Believer Needs to Know About Satan, Demons, and Spiritual Warfare. I recommend this book, and I don't say that lightly. I recommend a few books, but this is one of them. And so there were six people, not last week, but the week before, that raised their hand that wanted that. And I don't know if they're here this week or if they're sick or here, but if you raised your hand, if you'll read it, we're going to buy it for you. It's a gift in Jesus' name. There is no cost to you. Who else? Anybody else? Okay. Michael, I remember you did.
Did you say you have that on audio?
I now have it on audio in the Loner Library. All we ask is if you take it, that you read it, because we want you strengthened in Jesus Christ.
Is this about, spiritual warfare?
It is exactly about spiritual warfare. That's exactly what it's about. You got it, my friend. It's good stuff. You'll be equipped more than most people. If you're looking for other books, somebody was telling me, my memory is so terrible, even this week we also hand out books. This is a fictional book by Frank Peretti, This Present Darkness. And somebody, is the person here that told me last Sunday, was that, are they here, talked about this book? Oh, man. Oh, they had such an incredible testimony. See, that's what you get for getting old. Guys, don't get old. All right, well, we'll talk about it next week because hopefully they'll be here. And I'll share that and we'll hand that away. Yes, Lord Falgren's letters as well. Mm-hmm. We have that in the Loner Library, also on audio. Yes? Okay, yes. Yeah.
But I'm going to say, read it slowly.
Yes.
Don't just
breeze through it. Yes.
Read it slowly. It talks to you.
Great. Praise the Lord. That's what we want, the Holy Spirit talking to you. So, okay, so prayer Sunday mornings here at 9 a.m. For prayer time with Gary. This week is the women's Bible study. Yes. Okay, is that correct? Yes, yes, yes.
Erica's in back there.
Oh, Erica's okay in the kids' ministry. Okay. All right, so this Tuesday, 6:30 to 8 at Home Fellowship Church, and we're going through the book of Ephesians. And so we want to invite all the women out this Tuesday, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and it's a good time. Gary, anything else needs to be said? And I saw you raise your hand. Okay. Dozen ladies last time? Fantastic. Yeah. Okay.
Where they had last time. Okay. So the first back there. The park back there. Later.
Okay. All right. And I saw you raise your hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask if the church would pray for our family, mostly my daughter's grandma
just
passed away.
Yes. And we'll do that. And what she's asking for is prayer for her family as their grandma, the kid's grandma just. So let's just take a minute and let's just pray right now. Father, we just pray for the kid's grandma, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that she was a believer and that she knows you, Lord, and that she has eternal life, God. Thank you for that. Bless her right now. Encourage her. Encourage Ashley, Lord, right now. Encourage those kids right now, Lord God, right where they're at, Lord, as I'm sure they're struggling with dealing with the death as it's not easy, Lord God. I thank you so much that she knew you, that she was saved, Lord, and they have that assurance of salvation, Lord. And she's up in heaven with you. There's no more crying, no more pain. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love them, Lord. And so I thank you for that. And I pray for your blessing upon that family and that comfort for them during this time. And you would use this situation to draw everyone's eyes to yourself. And I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Also, next week, on the alternating Tuesdays, we have men's Bible study, dinner. And then, Wednesday, we have Transformers Youth Group. I don't know if Josh and Amanda, are they still on vacation? I don't see them here. Okay, they may be still on vacation, their family. But Wednesday Youth Group. And then we're going to be having a testimony. If you would like to share a testimony of what God's been doing in your life, instead of doing a worship time, we'll be doing that one of these Sundays. Talk to Gary, and we'd love to have you share your story, what God's doing in your life, because that's also how we grow, okay? Also, we didn't know if anybody was going to sign up for the Christmas part, a little Christmas party where we're going to serve you dinner. And there's a sign-up sheet. Anybody know where that is? Back on the table. If you haven't signed up, please do. I remember you guys, I got the text, but I don't know if my wife wrote it down. So if you, okay, good. So I think we're going to have it. I'm not sure if we're going to have it at our home or here. I think here, and there's about 50 people that signed up, and we're just going to serve you. We're going to make some homemade lasagna for you. and some homemade pasta sauce from my family and from her family, and we just want to bless you and serve you and eat together. So we want to encourage you to come out, sign up for that. We need to know how many people are coming so we can prepare, and that's this upcoming Saturday. Yes, 6 p.m.? All right. So please sign up if you haven't so we can get a good head count and feed you. Yes, also a White Elephant gift exchange. So just bring kind of a goofy gift. For those of you who don't know what that is, you can bring just up under $5 or under $10 gift. Yes?
If you signed up for that you want to help out in some way, you could just see me after church. I have a couple different things like errands and things like that that I could really use, some, could really use some help with, and some different things that, you know, Gary might need some help with.
Okay. Also,
yeah, if you sign up, just come see us. Okay?
Also, Gary, I'm going to wait on this because we have a couple things. What we're going to be doing, I'm going to show you a little video next week, but Thursday, starting January 10th, we're going to be experiencing God Course. This is knowing and doing the will of God. It's going to be Thursdays from 6:30 to 8:30. It's like a 14-week course. I absolutely guarantee that if you sign up for that course and that you take it, you will grow in your relationship with the Lord. You will learn to hear his voice. You will see God working in ways you never saw before. You'll be able to see that God is always at work around you, that God is pursuing a continuing love relationship with you that's real and personal, that he's speaking right to your hearts through the Bible, prayer, circumstances. You're going to be challenged to step out in faith. This is probably my favorite Bible studies of all the Bible studies I've taken in 20 years. So it's homework. I'm not gonna try to sell it to get you to come to a Bible study. Hi, Mom. It's going to be work. You got about 45 minutes a night, and I'm not going to lie to you, but I'm going to tell you, I absolutely guarantee 100% you will grow in the Lord. You will see him working, and you will be blessed. So pray about it and ask, does God want you to commit to this? And if so, then do it. Don't let anything or anyone stop you. All right? That is going to be every week starting January 10th. That'll be Thursdays, 6:30 to 8:30. All right? And we'll show a little video next week. But now we have something super duper special. Chris, if you could hit those lights. Now, we just had a baby dedication last week, and we're going to have actually three more babies dedicated next month. But we've got another baby dedication, a really wonderful family. And so, Sonny and Rachel, can you come on down? Or if Mom wants to come too, it's up to you. Whatever you want. Now, I asked which one you were going to get baptized. Hi.
Oh, now you're quiet.
He's handing out money.
Yeah. Okay, come here.
So we have, and I'm glad actually that you're holding the baby as the man. And so I'm so excited that we get to do a baby dedication because it is an amazing thing to be able to dedicate kids and to the Lord. And so there's a couple things I want to go over with you. You guys already know. Sonny, I know you know this. Rachel, I know you know this. But when we see baby dedications, we talked about it last week too. We see it in Samuel. When Samuel's mom dedicated the baby to the Lord, saying, oh, thank you so much. Oh, no, now you want it back. Okay. And so we see it even Jesus. Jesus's mom, Mary, and Joseph, they brought him to the temple to be dedicated. And so we're going to take time and we're going to dedicate you to the Lord. But we're also going to do one other thing. We're also going to speak to you guys. And I know it's hard with the kids and all that, and you got to hold and listen at the same time. But listen, God has blessed you, brother. God has blessed you, Rachel. You've got a wonderful family. Now, maybe not a perfect family, right? Is there anybody in here who has a perfect family?
Absolutely.
No. But you have something that most people don't have. You know the Lord. And even though sometimes we struggle or sometimes we stumble, you guys know Jesus. And the fact that you're up here, and the fact that you want to dedicate your child to the Lord in front of all these people is a fantastic thing. The fact that you would like all these people to pray over your baby, that God would bless this baby, and that God would use this baby in a way that will blow people's minds is fantastic. So I want to read something to you that I read at every baby dedication, and it's from Deuteronomy. And I'll try to make it quick so he doesn't fussy too much, but it says this, when God was given, after he gave the Ten Commandments, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these commandments I give you are to be upon your hearts." And why I say that too real quickly is because don't let anything come in between your relationship with the Lord for both of you, because it has to be upon your heart first. And dad, you're holding this baby. Now, as guys, we don't like responsibility, right? Let's just be honest. Well, maybe there's a guy in here that does. If so, you can rebuke me afterwards. But we don't like extra responsibility. We got enough, am I right? But God's saying, as the man of the house, I want you to be the spiritual leader. Even though we don't want to, the extra responsibility and the effort, he wants you to lead that family. And he wants to stir you up again, Sonny, that you would be the leader that he has called you to be. And he wants you to start by leading your wife. That means to church, to Bible studies, to in the home. That's all right, God.
Thank you.
Oh, you want the Bible? You can. No. I like that. That's okay. So what we're going to do, Sonny, is we're just going to pray over you guys, and then we're going to pray for your child. Okay. Well, you know what? That's good that you want the Bible, but I don't want you to rip the pages out. So we're going to take a minute, and we're going to pray for you guys, and then I'm going to anoint your baby with oil, if that's okay. All right. And don't worry about it. We're used to kids, so it's no big deal. Gary, do you have your oil? Yeah, yeah. Now, oil in the Bible represents what, guys? The Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Right? Okay, Gary, can you come on up here? I would like you to anoint this baby. And then I'm going to pray, if you don't mind, for Sonny and Rachel. And if anyone else, and then we'll open it up as soon as I'll pray for them. Gary will pray. And if anybody else feels led to pray for this baby, just come on up and we'll hand you the microphone. Okay? All right. I'm going to put my hands on you both, okay? Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for Rachel, and thank you for Sonny, Lord God. Thank you for bringing them together in Christ, Lord. I know they're probably nervous and all that kind of stuff, Lord. I pray that they would throw all that stuff out the window, Lord God. I pray that they would keep the main thing the main thing, that you would bless their relationship, you would bless their home, you would bless their hearts with humility, with love, with kindness, with goodness, with patience, Lord, with perseverance, Lord God, and with a grateful heart, Lord God, no matter what happens, that you would protect them with a hedge of protection, Lord, all around them, Lord, that you would just keep their eyes fixed on you and loving you. And then they would pour that out to their children, Lord God, to each one of their amazing children. I pray for a blessing of protection and a stirring of your Holy Spirit in their hearts to know you and to love you and to love others, Lord God. So protect them, help them, stir them, and encourage this family, Lord God. And help us as much as possible to be an encouragement to this family as well. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Gary, would you pray and anoint the baby?
Father God, we lift up this child to you, Lord.
Yes.
This time of year, we're especially reminded how precious children really are, Lord. And we ask that you would touch this child.
Yes, Lord.
You would lead his steps, Lord, that he would follow the Savior who he's dedicated to today, Lord. Use his life to bring glory to your name and be a blessing to his life.
Yes.
And now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit,
yes,
we anoint you.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Anoint him.
The Lord loves you.
Yeah. Yes. All right. He just wants a little bit of everything. Now, is there anybody else that wants to pray or before Sonny runs back with the baby? Is there anybody that feels led? Okay, Nate Weave, please.
Thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for this amazing family, Lord. And I just pray that you would give them the wisdom and clarity about life steps, that just the way you provided the star in the heavens and you provided the pillar of fire and the cloud by day that folks can follow, Lord Jesus, we just pray that as they make decisions for life and as each of their children are making decisions in what careers or what partners to choose for their spouses, Lord God, we just pray that it would just be so clear.
Yes.
And that there would just be this amazing, amazing clear direction. Yes. In their decisions as they go through life. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Nate Weave.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Good.
I don't know how old he is, but he did wonderful.
Come here. Bring it in, buddy.
Thank you.
You did great.
Bye.
I love you, bud. Rachel, I'm going to give you a hug, too.
Okay.
And he's gone. Okay. Run, run, run. Thanks. All right. Okay, so guys, we're going to start off in our Bible study. And George, in a second, I'm going to ask you to play a video. And then we're going to actually, I thought I was going to be finishing up Daniel, but I felt like the Lord, the Holy Spirit was saying, no, I want you to go to Matthew 25. So when he does this, sometimes he prepares my heart and he says, this is why I want you to teach this passage. But he didn't do that this time. He said, I just want you to teach the passage and I just want you to trust me. And sometimes God does that. Sometimes he just says, do it, and we have to be obedient and we don't know why. And so I sit here and say, okay, God, you have a message for somebody. And that's both scary and that's exciting, that the Holy Spirit of God wants to speak to us. And maybe it's to all of us. You know what, guys? And honestly, I say us because maybe it's even just me. Maybe he just did this for me, and you poor folks just have to sit here and listen to the Bible study that was made for me. I don't know. But maybe God will speak to you in the process. Okay? Now we're going to start off. We're going to watch just a short video. And I want you to listen to the difference. I've been getting kind of scared lately of what I'm seeing in the church. And when I say in the church, I mean in our church, in every church, there's a complacency, a duplicity. There's a kind of a fakeness. You know, somebody just said it the other day, fake it till you make it. I hate that saying. I would burn that thing. If you ever say it, never say that around me. Are you kidding? That's so hypocrite. Fake it. Anyway, that's what the Pharisees said. Fake it till you make it, am I right? Forget that. God wants us to be real before him and before one another. Okay? That's the truth. So we need to be real. Okay? Everything is not perfect. There are no perfect families. There are no perfect people. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, we are becoming perfect. We are becoming more like him if we're receiving his word in our hearts, not just in our heads. It's so important. And so as we watch this little video in just a moment, I want you to notice the difference between the things that he's saying and the words on the screen, which is revealing what's really in his heart and what God really sees. Because it's important to make sure that each of us are really ready in our relationship with the Lord. Okay? So, Chris, could you turn off those lights? And then, George, I don't know if you've got the video ready. But if you'd turn it up nice and loud, and let's hit it.
Hey, I'm Ryan. I'm a Christian, and this is my story. Growing up, I never missed going to church. When I was 12, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was even baptized. It undoubtedly was a very important decision. It even affected how I lived in high school. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had fun on the weekends. I had a girlfriend, a couple. But I was a normal high school kid. College was one big blur. But I did make it to church out of obedience. And after after school, I married a great girl. And she's been a great influence on me. Life's been good. I have a house, 3 kids. I couldn't ask for more. I mean, sure, I worry about my future. I mean, my marriage, it could be better. And I need to spend more time with my kids, but things will be all right. I have my faith. You may not hear me talk about it a lot, but it's just because it's personal. But don't worry for me. My Jesus is real.
Now, I don't know about you, but that should scare us a little bit.
In a good way.
In a good way. Yeah, absolutely. In a good way. You know, Jesus said when he comes back, you know, will he find faith on the earth? And I think we have to make sure that we are right with the Lord. You know, we're living in some weird times. Isaiah 5:20 says this, and you guys may or may not know this scripture, but we're living in a backwards time right now. You can see it's closer to, more close to the end than ever before. And it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, it's like the good stuff is being called bad and the bad stuff is being called good. Do you know what I'm saying? This is craziness to me. This is just madness to me. I was looking at some news articles, and you know what they just put in the capital in Illinois? A statue of Satan in the capital of Illinois, just in time for Christmas. And that's not the only one. That just happened. This is a couple of silly things, but it's silly, but not silly. Okay, you remember that song? I think Dean Martin sang it. Okay, no, don't mock me. Okay, yes, baby, it's cold outside. You know that one? You hear it every Christmas? Everybody is so up in arms. I think Dean Martin's daughter's going to still sing it. Now they're saying that that's a song that's hatred and rape. I'm like, what? I saw an article that they're calling the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving Christmas racist. There's a course in California they held at a college. Okay, how many people know VeggieTales? Raise your hand. Okay, you will not find... How about it? A more family-friendly, right, videos. So there's now, they had a big teaching up in California College, how VeggieTales is I'm trying to think of the words. I should have snapped the article. This was headline news, that it's inherently racist. Because, a slow poisoning of our children. Because the vegetables are colored, and listen, can I tell you something? We all come from the same race. If you're a Bible believing believer, Adam and Eve, right? Maybe you have more melanin in your skin, maybe you have less, but we all serve the King. And so now VeggieTales is put on this watch list for hatred and racism, and I'm thinking, what? This is crazy. You know what? You say only California, but I don't think so, sir. That's where it starts. It's going to overflow, and things are going to get worse and worse for us. That's the truth. Yes, Elijah.
Also, apparently, nowadays, they're calling that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is apparently racist.
Yeah, crazy stuff like this is happening, and we're living in crazy times, and so... Good is being called evil. Evil is being called good. There's a scripture verse I'm going to read to you. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1-5. And if you don't have a Bible, please, please, please raise your hand. Elijah or Chris, can you grab some Bibles? Just raise your hand. We'll get one to you. We want to make sure that as we're going through the scripture, you have a Bible in your hand. Yes, this is 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, okay? Give me a second to get there myself. I'm just going to read a verse to you. It talks about godlessness in the last days, and we're kind of living in it. Everybody is so mad and hates everybody, especially if you're godly, you know, or conservative. Holy cow, are you a target? This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. 2 Timothy will be directly after 1 Timothy. I'm sure that was helpful to most people. It says this, it says godlessness in the last days. He said, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Okay? People will be lovers of themselves. Can you imagine that? People stuck on themselves, like taking selfies all the time. Anyway, that's another story. Facebook, anyway, whatever. MySpace, okay, so here we go. People be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parent, ungrateful. Well, we don't live in an ungrateful society, so. Unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and listen to this, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And this is what scares me. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness. In other words, they're going to talk the talk. Maybe they'll look like a Christian, speak like a Christian. They'll go to a church. Do you know they have atheist churches now? What? Atheist churches? I'm not kidding you. Right. It's a lot of jokes there, but I'm gonna try to let that one go. In verse 7, it says, always learning the truth, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Listen, we can go to church and we can get religious information. We can do all this stuff, but is it changing our hearts and lives? I love it. If you're wondering where all the teens are right now, they're teaching the youth. They're bringing them to Christ right now, a whole slew of our teenagers. That's what they're doing right now. And I love that. That's their focus. That's their heart. I love that they're doing that. They're doing that right now. Are we doing that? Are we allowing the word to change and stir our hearts? Because we're living in terrible times. So many people in our churches have a form of godliness. They can talk the talk. Have you ever heard of Christianese? You know, you've got, you know, Chinese and you've got Japanese and you've got Christianese. Sometimes we can learn to speak a language. You know what I'm saying? But is it really in our hearts? So right now, as we get into Matthew chapter 25, we're going to go through a parable. And so I would like everybody to turn there. Parables of the Kingdom. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 3. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 3. And we're going to read it together. And we're going to go over what it says. All right, I'm going to turn there myself. Crazy times. Matthew chapter 25, up on the screen. And it will be verses 1 to 13. And we're going to be talking about the parable of the 10 virgins. So I don't know where that microphone went, but can I get somebody just to read it for me? Let's say Matthew chapter 25, 1 to 13. Do you have a good reader, just raise your hand, and then Elijah will bring you the microphone. You want to read it? Okay, thank you, Natalie. And then we'll read it, go verse by verse through it. Okay, so Matthew chapter 25, 1 to 13.
Okay. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with them to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
You know, I think of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and he ended it by speaking of two roads, one that led to eternal life and one that led to destruction. He ended it with two trees, one that was fruitful and one of failure in the Lord's eyes, that we burned down and thrown into the fire. And he ended it with two foundations, one that would stand forever and one that would sink into the depths. And so as we come to this Matthew 25 verse, Jesus is giving a parable. Now, what a parable is, it's a truth that's laid alongside, it's an illustration that's laid alongside a truth, and it's to illustrate it. So picture this. Its parable is two words in Greek, parabole. Para is where we get our word parallel. Like right now, I am standing next to the armor of God. I'm standing kind of parallel with it, right? Okay, and bole means to lay down. So Jesus is laying down a truth, okay, laying down an illustration right beside this truth to help us to understand it, okay? So as we read this, know that Jesus' intent is simple. Sometimes we can read too much into the text and get too technical and stuff, but it's just pretty simple what he's trying to say, okay? So but it's deep, though. So here we go. Ready? Chapter 25, verse 1 says, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like." So here's the first thing I want to say. At what time? Okay, well, Jesus just finished the Olivet Discourse in chapter 24, and he's telling about his coming. He says when he's coming back again. He's saying this is the signs of what to look for. It says, if you jump back, look at one chapter back in verse 36. He told his disciples in chapter 24, 36, he said, "No one knows the day, no one knows about that day or the hour, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And he said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days of the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, given to marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen to them until the flood came and took them away." That's how it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. So he's telling them all these things. He's telling them we need to be ready. All those people in Noah's days, they were being preached to by Noah. And, "Oh yeah, we're good. We're good. You know, oh, we're good, right? We're fine. Hey, you know, we're all right. You're all right. I'm okay. You're okay." And they weren't. And then when the flood came, the door, the only door to be saved, right? Jesus' that door was shut. And it was too late. And so is going to be, as we read in this parable, it's going to be too late. So we need to make sure that we're right with the Lord now. And maybe I'm preaching the choir, or maybe this is something for you to share on with somebody else. But God wants us to know and to teach others the same thing. So he says, at this time, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, is there any special thing about the virgins? No. A virgins for us would have been like the bride's wedding party. You know, that would be like bridesmaids of today. Okay, when we married you, when we married Ashley, you had bridesmaids, right? Okay, that would be the bridesmaids of today. Now, in their culture, like in the Jewish culture, a wedding would have been everything. Like, they couldn't go to Oakmont 8 and say, "Oh, I want to pick this movie today, and I'd like some popcorn, and I'll pick this other movie next week." And they didn't have any of that. So in a village, in a town, a wedding was this amazing celebration. And it happened in three stages. okay? First, there was the engagement, and it happened like this, since I don't want to embarrass people. But how do I do this? Stanley has boys, and he's thinking, okay, I want my sons to marry godly girls. So he calls up Nate, and they get together as families, and they start discussing it. And they say, do you think this would be a good match for our family? This one loves the Lord. And they would talk, and they would make an arrangement, okay? And they would have this arranged marriage. That's how it is, even in some cultures today. Take my wife, please. Anyway, so they would arrange the marriage, and then later on, there would be what was called, after the engagement, there'd be called the betrothal period. Now, that's what we would call, like, the marriage ceremony. Do you know what I mean? They'd have a big ceremony, a big celebration, a big doodly-doo-ya, and then they would be like they were married, except for they wouldn't consummate the marriage. Okay, and what the groom would do is he would go and prepare a place for her. Does that sound familiar to everybody? He would go and prepare a place up to about a year, and he would maybe buy a plot of land, get a business ready, prepare the rooms for his new bride and his family, really make sure that everything was in order so that when his bride came, it would be all ready for her. What an amazing thing. And so in this parable, this is what's going on right now. We've kind of gone past the engagement stage, past the betrothal stage. We're at the one-year mark. What would happen then is that the guy would come back at a time. They would have a day, and he would come back, but you wouldn't know exactly what time. So he could come at 7 in the morning, and everybody had to be ready for this big hoo-ha celebration. And then what would happen is he would pick up his bride and everybody would go back to his house. And they would have a week-long marriage celebration. Pretty crazy. But at the end of the night, the best man would take the bride's hand and the groom's hand, put them together. And then, hopefully, everyone would leave. You'll always have that uncle that wants to stay and talk. And anyway, okay, you know when I got married? Okay, my wife's not here. All right, so don't tell her this. Okay, so my wife made, she was, okay, I don't know if it's just because I'm a guy, but probably some. But my wife took such care when we got married. I mean, we had a multi-layer cake. We had to taste each layer of the cake. And the icing that was in the middle, and flavor, and the china, and the, oh, I was gouging my eyes out. Anyway, but my wife loved that stuff, and I'll be honest with you, I don't remember even eating the cake. I don't remember what the cake tastes like. I probably spent 6 hours picking out flavors. I don't even remember what it tastes like. I wanted to be with my bride. So here we have the guy, the man who's coming for his bride. And so everybody had to be ready that day. It could be 7 in the morning. It could be noon. It could be late at night even. 7, 8 o'clock, or in this case, midnight. And everybody just had to be ready. So this is the situation. And the fact that there's 10 in this parable, you know, I don't know if there's an exact reason for 10, but 10 is the number of completion in the Bible. Did you know that? Think about it. God completed the commandments that he gave to his people. How many were there? 10. When he did the plagues in Egypt and judged them before he let his people go by the blood of the Lamb, how many plagues were there? 10. Okay, do you know how many generations there were from, processing, standby, blah, 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 Adam to Noah before he judged the earth? Take a guess, how many generations lived? 10. Do you know how many generations lived from Noah to Abraham to the covenant? 10. Do you know how many? You guys are getting amazing at this. You're getting the answer right every time. Do you know how many men it took to start a synagogue in a church? Guess 10. How many people to do a blessing? Guess what? 10. Diane, you're amazing. 10. Okay, so all these things. And Jesus, when he told his parables, same thing. There were 10 talents. Remember that story? 10 minas. Not a Boston miner. 10 minas. He told the story about the 10 lepers. And here in this parable, you know, he tells the story of these 10 virgins. So it's a number of completion. He's including everybody. And he says, these 10 virgins, it says, who took their lamps. And now every picture I've ever seen looks like, I don't even know, maybe I have a picture. Hold on a second. Give me just a second. Skip that scripture verse. Okay, can you hit that light just for 1 second? Okay, can you see this right here? A little ceramic thing with, you know, held oil. Okay, but that's actually not the lamp he's talking about. Okay, that's not the word. There's two words for lamp. That's a different word. This word is for like a torch. Almost like when you remember when they came in John chapter 18, verse 3? Excuse me. It says, so Judas came to the garden guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials and chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches. The Greek word is lampos. That's the same word. And that was like, imagine like a pole, and it had wire mesh in it. It had a bunch of cloth, and then a bunch of oil. You would eventually pour all the oil over it and have a little place in there, and it would burn for a long time. Okay? So they had these little torches with them, and they were ready, or so they thought. Okay, hit the lights, Chris. Thanks. It says, so they had these lamps, okay? So think of it more like torches, all right? It's the same word. And it says these 10 virgins took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. So they're out there ready, or we think they're ready. All 10 of them look the same. In other words, they all come together, maybe even at church. Maybe even at your church, maybe at Bible study, they kind of look the same. They have the same kind of dresses, the same kind of jeans, the same kind of hairdos, same glasses, carry in their Bibles, maybe, even, right? They look the same, they talk the same, they speak the lingo, they're dressed like the wedding party, right? They look the part, like so many of us today. They've got the praise God, hallelujah, praise Jesus, yeah. Highly blessed, greatly favored, whatever that saying is. They know all the cool Christian sayings. But you're going to see that half of them weren't ready. They looked the part, but they weren't ready. Now, I'm not one into numbers, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that. So that means if 5 of them were prepared and 5 wasn't, okay, we don't want to make too much out of it and say, so that means 50% of the people that look like they're Christians are Christian. Is it you? Is it you? We don't want to do that. But I think he's trying to say that's a large number. And that should scare you in a sense. It should put the fear of the Lord into you. It does me. I don't know about you. I want to be ready. And dang it, I want you to be ready. I want you to make sure you're ready for his coming. It goes on to say, in the text here, it goes on to say in verse, it says that 10 virgins, it took the lamps and he went out, and it says he went out to meet the bride, the bridegroom. Now that meet is a special word. So picture the virgins as kind of people who profess to believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? So 10 of them are going out to meet the bridegroom. And that word is only used twice. In the Bible, other than in this passage. And it's a very intimate word. So the virgins, part of the bride, they're going out to meet the bridegroom, okay? And it's used only twice others in the Bible, and it's the same word meet as we see in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. When the Lord comes back, he says, then those who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet, that's the same word, the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord forever. So that's the same word. These virgins are going to meet with the bridegroom. And who's the bridegroom? You know the answer. Jesus Christ. Yes. Yep, Jesus Christ is referred to the bridegroom a lot. Let me see. Hopefully I have a slide in here. Maybe just not in the right order. Okay. Jesus said in Matthew 9:15, Jesus said to them when they were giving his disciples a hassle about not fasting, Jesus said to those Pharisees, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" Referring to himself. "The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them and they will fast then." So Jesus even referred to himself as the bridegroom, which is really cool because guess what? In the Old Testament, that's a heavy thing to say because it says that God was the bridegroom. So he's telling them who he is. It says in Isaiah 62:5, "As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride." By the way, that's us. We're his bride. Those believers who have really committed their life to him. "As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you." Isn't that awesome? Isaiah 62:5. He goes on to say in Isaiah 54:5, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called." So he wants you to know that he's the bridegroom. He is the maker. He is the creator. He sustains all things together. So he is that bridegroom. It goes on to say, get the light, Chris. Thanks, buddy. In verse 2, they're going out to meet the bridegroom. That's Jesus Christ. And it says, five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. Remember, they all looked the same. They all got dressed. They all put makeup on, let's say. You know, they all took whatever they thought they needed. They all were talking, hanging out together. And it says five of them were foolish. And here's the crazy thing. That word foolish in the Greek is the word moros. And this is kind of a strong term. It's where we get our term moron from. So the Bible's saying that five of these, they were morons. Now, he's not trying to be harsh, but he is trying to make a point. It means stupid. It means foolish, specifically with a lack of reverence for God. It means foolish as in, what did I read in the definition? Stupid as in shut up. It said that right in the definition. So in other words, it's picture this. Picture you trying to tell somebody about the Lord, and you're just almost like, yeah, shut up. I got it. We're good. I don't need to hear it. Church on Sunday, men's Bible study Tuesday, who can do that? Wednesday Bible study and experiencing God, 45 minutes a night, who wants to wait? We're good, I'm fine, we don't need it. Hey, me and Jesus, he's my homie, peace out, word up, hallelujah, praise God. I grew up in the church, I was dunked in water, is it real or is it a plastic Jesus? The Bible says that you will know them by their fruit. Fruit is something you can see, isn't it? I know when I go to Midway Orange Groves that it's not an apple tree farm because I can see the fruit. People will see the fruit in your life, your love for the Lord, your love for others, your joy in him, your peace in crazy times because he's your peace, not because it's everything's great around you all the time, because he's your patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He is all these things. They'll see it. It says, but these were foolish. They don't want to hear all this God stuff. You know, whatever, we're good. We're good. Me and him, we're good. And God says, I know pastors who have pastored mega churches that got saved. Now, I'm not saying they got saved and then did a mega church. I'm saying they had a mega church and then later got saved. What? Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I want me. I want to know. I don't want to be a foolish one. I want to make sure I'm ready. It says five of them were foolish. They, I'm good. Yeah, we... Bible, got it. I know the answers. Bible, Jesus, God. Okay, let's move on, right? Got my kids in Christian school. They go to youth group, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Jesus, Jesus. Okay, I even listen to the Joy FM. It's more than that. It's giving your heart over to your Savior. It's being saved by grace. It's living a life for Him. It goes on to say that five of them were foolish. And it says five of them were wise. The Greek word for wise is phronimos. And it means this. It means thoughtful. It means mindful. It means prudent. In other words, these were the wise ones. These were, I'm thinking, hey, I want to make sure that I'm right here. Do I have all my stuff? Am I prepared? I'm going to take the extra time to think about it. I want to know. I don't want to be one of the foolish ones. I don't want to be one of the Moroses. I want to know that I'm right with you. I want to be plugged into Him so that when He comes, I'm ready. It takes time to be thoughtful. It takes some digging, right, to be prudent on these things. Listen, sometimes I'll have people come up to me, and I love when they do this. Pastor Darren, I'm not sure if I'm saved. And can I just tell you? I love to hear that. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Maybe I'll tell you why in a minute if I can find it. Give me just a second here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5 to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith or to see if your faith is genuine. God says, I want you to test yourself. Make sure you're not just putting on a show like those Pharisees. They were hypocrites. They were actors. Hallelujah, praise God, oh man. I even wear the Christian shirt. I even got a bumper sticker. Booyah. It says, do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't one at all? That's the Living Bible, that part. I love that. I thought, wow, is that powerful? Well stated. Are you ready? When they come and say, I'm not sure, that shows that your heart is wanting to make sure you're right. You're examining yourself. Listen, I'd rather baptize somebody a few times to make sure. You know, sometimes that'll happen. You know, they backslid. I want to recommit. I want to be baptized again. Hallelujah, praise God. I want a baby dedication. Wonderful. Now, do they need to dedicate their baby? Is there a law? At home fellowship or in Christian church? No. I want to do it. I want people to pray for him. I want to be baptized again. I want to be sure. I want to commit my life to him. I want to make sure. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I want to have your power and your presence in my life that I can live for you. I don't want to just be another mouthpiece. I don't know what you're doing or what. I want to be that. Now, I realize this is not a super fun teaching, you know, to, hey, I just want to be pepped up a little bit in my step and go out and skippity-doo-dah, praise God, hallelujah, high five, yeah, rock and roll, Jesus, wow. That's, and there's nothing wrong with rock and roll, just don't get me wrong. Okay, I'm just saying it's more than just the show. I had somebody in here 2 weeks ago. Can I talk to you for a minute? I've known you for a long time. He's not a believer yet. And he took me aside and he said, I see so many Christians. I'm talking to you because this was really a compliment. At least I took it as a compliment. He's like, I know you're not fancy. Kind of a compliment. But anyway, but he said, but I know you're real. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, me and this other friend, they've gone to so many churches. It just seems like it's this fake show. But see, it can be that fake show in your home too, couldn't it? Maybe you're trying to a fake show with your friend, making it seem like you're something you're not. Be real with people, with your faults, your foibles, but let them know how much you love the Lord. Thank you, God, that I'm forgiven. Do you know what I'm saying? Be wise. Could you hit that light for a second, Chris? Oh, I'm sorry, Elijah. You're raising your hand. You have the microphone right there. Yeah, thanks.
About what you said, one of the most important lines in, you know, that Newsboys song, We Believe, is let our faith be more than anthems.
Yeah. There was a, was it Michael W. Smith? I don't know if it shows my age, but does anybody know who Michael W. Smith is? Okay, thank you. A few of you. Okay, I think he had a song that said, he was talking about the cross. And, you know, something about, I wish I could remember, it's not coming to me at this moment. But, you know, he said something like in his song, that's a nice cross around your neck. Is it just a decoration? Because it means a lot more than that to me. Yeah. Anyway, let's continue with the parable. So five of them were foolish, morons, moros. And five of them were wise, phronimos. They were prudent. They were mindful. And it says the foolish ones took their lamps, but didn't take any oil. So yeah, they took all the same stuff. And this is important. Some of your Bible's translations will say they took no oil. That's super importante. They had no oil. They didn't take any oil. So maybe they took their stuff, but when it came right down to it, everything looked the exact same, but there's no oil. That oil in the Bible, kiddos, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. See, I can't live this life apart from the Holy Spirit. All of us, like sheep, go astray. Isn't that right? Apart from the Holy Spirit, I'd be way out left field. But because of God, because like George says, he's got us to be in a body for a reason. We want to hide, but God doesn't want you to hide. He wants you in an intimate, loving, growing environment. This experiencing God, please forgive me for this plug. I'm telling you, take this course, dig in together, grow together. Yeah, it's scary. Yeah, you're not going to know everything. Yeah, it's work, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you're going to be tired. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, stop it with the excuse. Come and grow together. But the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and they didn't have it. They looked the part, talked the part. It reminds me that burning oil for the lamp reminds me of all the way back in Exodus when God gave this command. And he told Aaron in the tabernacle, he said this, listen, he said, Aaron, he said, this is oil for the lampstand. Exodus 27 verses 20 to 21. He says, I want you to command my people, command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light so that the lamps may be kept burning. See, that oil helps you to burn in a dark time. Because without it, you're going to be snuffed out. You're going to be like that seed that plants its roots for a little bit on the rocky soil, right? But you receive Jesus with great joy. Woo-hoo! But because it had no root, when persecution came, when hard times came, when that sun came out, when the wind blew, it died and withered. No, you need the oil of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, fill me right now with your Holy Spirit. Oh, I ask that. You can ask that continually. But there's a one-time filling of the Holy Spirit, which is his grace imputed to you. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be saved. It says, in the tent of meeting outside the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening till morning. And this is to be a lasting ordinance among the Israelites for generations to come. I want you to keep that light burning. Keep that oil flowing. That's the oil of the Spirit. We don't want to just be religious people. Boring! Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. They didn't have any oil. Verse 3, the foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. But the wise ones, the phronimos, however, they took oil in their jars. It says, and they took oil in jars along with their lamps. And the bridegroom was gone a long time. Now, can I tell you? I've been serving the Lord now, full-time ministry, for about 20 years. Now, to some people, like maybe Joel and Heidi, 20 years is like, you're a puppy. Or Peggy and Lester, they're not here but right now. But what, 47 years, is that right, on the ministry field? I might seem like, but it seems like it's a long time. And you know what can happen to me? And so I know it can happen to you because we're all human. We get lazy. We get complacent. It is human nature. We get kind of a put your feet up kind of attitude. Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. I love Jesus, you know. Oh, as I watch Netflix. I'm all for Jesus. I just want to take it easy for a bit. Isn't that what the enemy whispers in your ear? And I think the Lord would say, to me at least, don't do it, Darren. Don't do it, Laura. Don't do it, Scott. I want to stir you up to love and good deeds, all the more as you see the day of approaching. I want to stir your heart. Huh? He said he quit Facebook. Listen, and I don't know what you should keep or what you shouldn't. That's between you and the Lord. But we need to make sure we're focused on Him in His business. Listen, if you, God was done with you and you got saved, do you know where you'd be right now? You'd be in heaven with Him. But He's got work for you to do. Now, those around you, maybe who have been working really hard in the Lord, maybe they're tired. And maybe they need you to step up a little bit more. In fact, maybe a lot more. Maybe they need your help serving the Lord. And God's calling you, even now. Holy schmoly, look at the time. Okay, speeding up. Okay, quick. It says, the bridegroom was gone a long time. Oh, there's so much I want to say there. Oh, I'm going to cut it a little shorter. 2 Peter says this, 3:9 says, the Lord isn't slow in keeping His promises as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So our vision of what's slow and a long time and His are very different. And it says they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Listen, it's not that these virgins, they fell asleep. They didn't care about the Lord. No, it's nighttime. It's midnight. Unless I'm watching a Netflix show, I'm asleep like the rest of the family. It's the right time. It's just what happens at midnight. But they're all asleep. And it says at midnight, a cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Now, why midnight? I'm not sure exactly. But that's the latest possible time, right? Isn't it kind of at night? At a time when we don't expect it? It says that's what time He's going to come. He says, like, if you knew what time the thief would come into your house, right? Mm-hmm. It said you'd be ready for him. But He's going to come like a thief in the night. In other words, if I told you, Anthony, when you get home today at 2 p.m., there's going to be a thief. He's going to come into your home at exactly 2 o'clock. Can I ask you what you'd do? You would be locked and loaded, waiting for her. I'm ready. You'd have it prepared. You'd have a couple of guns, a couple of people, I would imagine. Bada bing, bada boom. So, but he says that's not going to be the case. You're not going to know the time. It says at midnight. By the way, in Exodus 12:29, guess what? When that 10 plagues was finished and he was finally letting his people go and they were freed into the promised land, and that angel of death came, and there was no turning back. All those people that lost their firstborn, that didn't put the blood of the lamb, do you remember, on the doors of their homes, they died. Their firstborn died. Do you remember that story? And they were warned repeatedly. And so are you. Guess what time that happened? Midnight. Exodus 12:29. No coincidence, I don't think. Anyway, it also then goes on to say Then, verse 7, then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps have gone out. And verse 9 says, no, they replied. There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Now, the whole point of this isn't like, man, those other virgins, are they being selfish? They got oil and they're not giving it away. That's not the point here. The point is, you can't buy it. You can't get saved because of me. My kid isn't going to be saved because of my righteousness. It's something I have to get from the Lord. Does that make sense? You can't blame it. Listen, I'm just going to say this. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. In Isaiah 55, he says, come by salvation. It's free gift. It's free to you. The water of life. Hit that light, Chris. It says this. Sorry, I'm taking a little bit long. Give me 3 minutes. It says this. It says, but while they were on their way to buy some oil, listen, if Jesus is coming back, well, it's going to be too late now. He's going to come at an hour you didn't expect. It's going to be too late then. It says, but while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And I don't know, I think of Revelation 19, 7 to 9, that talks about that. I won't go over it because we're already running late, but I will say this one verse. It says, let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself what? So are you ready? It says, well, this last little thing. It says, and they went in with him to the banquet hall. But it also says, and the door was shut. Just like on the ark. Mm-hmm. And then later, the others also came and said, sir. They said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't even know you. Lord, didn't we do many ministries in your name? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we do miracles in your name? Eat with you and see you teach on the streets? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want to ever hear that of the Lord. I want to make sure that I'm ready. And I want you to be ready. And then he says this, therefore keep watch because you do not know the date or the hour. And, you know, when it comes to being known by the Lord, Nahum 1:7 says this, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. And then 2 Timothy 2:9 says this, the Lord gave me the scripture yesterday, the Lord knows those who are his. So here's what I'm saying to you. Some of you have fallen asleep. Not maybe during the sermon. Possibly maybe. But God wants to say, wake up. These are the last times. Get busy. Get prepared. The fact that you took that book. Listen, the only reason I'm talking to you is because I'm right here. I'm not like pointing you out. You understand that? You took that spiritual warfare book. You read it. You're preparing yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what we each need to be doing. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are or how cool you are. What matters is that you have a heart for the Lord. Get in there. Don't let anything or anyone stop you. You need to be ready. I need to be ready for his return at any time. And we need to live with an expectation that he's coming back soon. Now, I'm not saying... I know somebody who hasn't had a job in a couple years because they're waiting for the Lord to come back. I'm not saying that we all get in our PJs at midnight tonight, sing Kumbaya and stand outside ready. he could come right this second. I want you to be ready and working today. And if not today, then tomorrow. If not, preparing yourself. Making sure. We've got Bible studies coming up here. God's orchestrating these for you to get ready. Come. Taste of the water of life. Be ready. Be prepared. The Lord knows that those that are His. And He wants you to help make Him known to others. For some reason, He has chosen, let me see your hands. He has chosen your hands to make Him known. He's chosen these feet to make Him known. He's choosing, I'm not going to touch your lips because that would be creepy. Those lips to make Him known. He's chosen that heart to make Him known. Make sure you're ready. Make sure, Darren, I'm ready. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And then hopefully, now don't do these, now the Bible studies will be packed for that. Don't do it out of guilt. Just ask the Lord, do you want me to be there? Lord, we just want to say thank you for this time, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be ready, Lord God. Help us to be not foolish, Lord, and think we're doing okay and just put up our feet and take it easy. Lord, stir us up towards love and good deeds. Hebrews 10:25 is coming to mind, Lord. All the more as the day approaches, Lord, to stir us up, Lord God. Help us to be more focused on you and not less. Bless those kids. Raise them up to be on fire for you, Lord God. Raise up more people in here to be on fire for you, to serve more, to seek more, to find more, to love more. Lord, bless your people today and do a good work in them, Lord God. Draw them in close so you can build them up. And then send them forth. We ask for your blessing on this group and a stirring in their hearts. And we ask it in the mighty, awesome name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good week in Jesus Christ's name.